This is a People First Radio podcast.
Next on the show, we're going to head just south of Nanaimo into the small Vancouver Island community of Cedar. That's where you'll find Coco Cafe. What's Coco Cafe, you ask? Well, let's find out.
My name is Mark Tashrow, and I'm the general manager at the Coco Cafe, which is basically the social enterprise portion of the Cedar Opportunities BC Society.
And can you tell me about what happens at Coco Cafe? What does that mean, social enterprise?
What a great question. Social enterprise is fantastic because what we are, we're a cafe. We're a restaurant. We serve excellent homemade food. Everything here is done from scratch. But at our core, what we do is provide education, training, and socialization opportunities and employment for people of varying abilities. And so we are a profitable business. We just return every penny we make into funding what we do as a charity.
And can you tell me maybe a bit about the history of the cafe? How did it start up?
Well, the cafe started, basically there was a group of parents who had children with developmental disabilities, and they were frustrated by the lack of opportunities for them. And so that's how Coco Cafe was born, basically 12 years ago. And yeah, it's sort of grown exponentially since then. And so at this point, the vast majority of our team are people of varying ability. And so there's only a handful of people who don't fall into that category that kind of make everything run and support what they do on a daily basis. But almost 75% of the team here that you'd run into at any given moment are people of varying ability.
And can you tell me about what the sense of community maybe internally amongst the staff is like?
I think you've experienced a bit of it already. You know, there are other entities that will employ somebody with a disability or a varying ability to some capacity. I think the biggest difference that you'll see is, first of all, when we talk about opportunity, is there a plan in place? Is there a system to grow, to explore their potential and look at and say, hey, what else can we do? Rather than just putting somebody in a job that may not go anywhere. We have the ability to employ people who wouldn't be employable typically in any regard in the open market. And what that does is, when I say that 75% of our team are made up of people of varying abilities, you can imagine any marginalized group put into an environment where they make up the majority of a team all of a sudden feels very engaged. They have the conversations anybody would expect to have in a workplace. They develop friendships. And so it's a very lively, energetic environment. Everybody gets along super well. Everybody supports everyone. And everybody really feels like part of a team.
During my visit to Coco Cafe, I was able to catch up with Jacob and Cecilia, two of the staff members.
My name's Jacob Rockman. I would do here, I was working here since like young and teenager and adult.
And we're also here with?
Cecilia, I'm the support worker here.
And Jacob, can you tell me what it's like working at Coco Cafe?
Well, since I was working here, I love to learn to like cooking and baking. And I love to make some lot of money, But my favorite is to do baking and cooking with Mark and everything. So that is awesome.
What about barista?
And the barista work is that I did a coffee and tea. And I make the customers happy, not mad, not frustrated. But it's really kind of cool. So yeah.
And do you have maybe a favorite thing to bake or a favorite skill you've picked up?
Yes, this is my favorite. Before, my old recipe is called the banana bread thing recipe. It is so good. It's sugar, but I have to be careful. But the banana bread is good for the customers.
Can you tell us about Brock's brew, maybe?
Yes, I want to talk to you about my Brock's brew. It's like Bieber's coffee name.
How do you make it? Cold brew, right?
It's called cold brew. It's like do it like four with water.
Yep, and then you called, you named it after yourself.
And it's called Brock's Brew. And I want to sell it for the customers. If I should sell it to the customers, then the coffee will be gone. Now I'll make some more.
Oh, it sells out.
Why the name Brock's Brew?
Well, this is my favorite question. If this is like Beep's Brew versus Brock's Brew, it's like, well, I named that from Beep's Brew first, and I named that Brock's Brew because my name's Trigger Brockman, but I want to call it like Brock's Brew Coffee.
Beep's Brew, like Justin Bieber?
Yeah.
And can you tell me about the sense of community here? What's it like with the customers and with your coworkers?
Well, the customers, like, I want to talk to them about the weather or funny jokes or something. I make them happy because about the weather or something. If it's snow, then that's kind of dangerous. I mean, yeah.
And what about the folks you work with?
Well, I work with Cecilia, that girl over there. And, well, she makes me laugh, I mean, but I love doing more baking and cooking because it's my favorite subject, because it's my plans for my furniture, I mean. Yeah.
What's it like working with Jacob?
Oh, I love working with Jacob. He's so fun to work with.
How has your life changed from before you were working at Coco Cafe to now?
Well, this is kind of different for Cecilia, but actually I didn't know her since before, because I'm very so young before I was working here. So her name is like Emma. She's been working here since at the barista. I know her name now, but it's different because I can think and sad because I'm sad because I like her so much. I mean, she's a good friend to me, but I mean, she's my best friend because we're working together and make laughs and jokes, fooling around each other is my favorite thing. That's my goals for. But and now she's gone, and now my difference is that her name is Cecilia. My first met with her,
yeah.
And she's smart and kind and beautiful. But I'm so excited.
What would you like people who don't know anything about Coco Cafe, who've never been here, what would you tell them about it?
So my job is to like making money. I want to have a house my own, and I'll have a nice girlfriend or wife. I mean, well, for one day, but
so yeah. Do you mean that like Coco Cafe is helping you achieve your goals, maybe?
Yeah, so my goals is like that, like doing a paper with Cecilia, like every shift, I mean, like get ready and focus and make my breakfast at home and ready to go for work, I mean, but then I'll work, like do my morning routine, like saying good morning to Cecilia or my friends first. To start my day, and then sometimes if she's in the office, I'll just say hello or something.
Is there anything else you want to bring to the conversation? Anything else you want people to know? Anything you'd like to say?
Well, I mean, for my fans and my people and family mostly, but I hope they're gonna be awesome.
Thank you so much for taking some time to speak with me.
I'll be honored to.
You're listening to People First Radio. We're paying a visit to Coco Cafe on today's program. It's a social enterprise in the Vancouver Island community of Cedar. Coco Cafe's mission is to provide employment, training, and socialization opportunities for people with developmental disabilities within their community. We just heard from Jacob Brockman, who works at the cafe. I also spoke with his mom, Deborah, about the impact of Coco Cafe.
My name's Deborah Cooper. I'm a fairly new resident to the Vancouver Island area from the mainland originally. I have a son with Down syndrome named Jacob, and I was fortunate enough to be on Vancouver Island and found the Coco Cafe and got involved in their mission here of employing people with diverse abilities. And we've been lucky enough as a family to have Jacob be involved in the process here, and it's made a huge impact on our lives.
Yeah, can you tell me a bit more about what that impact has been?
Sure. Well, you know, Jacob has probably been working here part-time for about 5 years, so we'd come over and visit initially, and he'd spend spring break and summer holidays working a couple of days a week here. And it, at that time, gave him a huge amount of purpose, getting up and getting himself ready for work and feeling like he was contributing. He has three older siblings, and so for him, the world made sense that he would be employed like his brother and sisters were, that he would get a job and get a girlfriend and settle down and get married and all the things that anybody else might expect of their lives. But of course, his life faces a lot more challenges than a typical life. And so this was able to provide a lot of normalcy for him. And in addition to that, it made a huge impact on our family in the sense that if you don't have a child that has developmental disabilities, it's very difficult to understand the context of the value that someone being able to participate in regular society, if that makes any sense. As a parent, there's an overriding concern about where your child is going to end up when you're gone. Are they going to be able to function in their community? Will they have a place? Will people know them? Will they be helped along the way? And this has provided that stability for us as a family, knowing that there is a place here for Jacob. And if it's not here, he's been trained well enough and gone through the process of training that he'd be able to adapt and work somewhere else and get himself to work every day and create a community within that workplace. So that's been hugely important for us.
Yeah, Jacob was talking a bit about some of the skills that he's built here and some of the work he's been doing. Can you tell me about maybe you've seen that at home?
Absolutely. Particularly in the last 2 years, where I think the model of the training here has adapted, and that is that they're really working towards individual potential. And so Jacob's been working in the back, baking banana bread and other baked goods. He's learned how to use the till. He's working as a barista and among other things. And within the last year, he's getting up in the morning and making himself breakfast. So not just a bowl of cereal, he's making himself an omelet. He's making his dad an omelet in the morning. He is completely independent with regard to setting his alarm and getting up and showering and getting ready for work. He's doing his own laundry and folding it and putting it away. And I know maybe for a lot of people that doesn't seem like a big milestone, but it is absolutely huge for us. So he's got a set of jobs that he does at home that he does without being coerced into doing. And he does them effectively and efficiently because he's been doing lots of those types of tasks here. So he understands about doing a job completely and thoroughly and feeling good about the job that he's doing.
Is there something from the model of Coco Cafe that you think more workplaces or businesses or just organizations that exist in society, is there something specific you think that they could take and incorporate to make a positive change?
I think there are a lot of things. I think that where probably general businesses might not be able to do those things is they're not educated in how to make those things happen. So I think it becomes more difficult. There's almost like a fear, you know, we're not sure how to work with people that have developmental disabilities. One of the things I know that that is being worked on here at the cafe is the concept of COCO College. And in addition to the training that individual staff members would go through to learn how to do things here at the cafe and learn how to be better contributors in society in general, they're also going to expand into creating an educational component that will target businesses so that business owners could come in and learn how to hire and support diverse abilities people within their own workplace. And I think that's a lot of what's lacking right now. I think that there are incentives to hire people, but there's still an apprehension about it.
Just because there isn't that level of education, or there aren't necessarily those bridges being built such that even if people want to, they just aren't sure how to go about it?
Exactly.
Do you often come in here to the cafe and sit down for a meal or a drink?
Often. We're mostly a to-go family, so we'll grab a coffee to go, or the breakfast sandwiches are our favorite, one of the vegetarian soups we love. So yeah, we tend to come in fairly regularly. And of course, at the end of every one of Jacob's shifts, he's bringing home his next meal. So he loves the food here as well. But yeah, it's great food.
And have you heard from him maybe about the community or like friendships within the staff, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think there is a real camaraderie with the staff. They all know each other. It's a very family feeling environment at the cafe with regard to the co-workers. With the general community, I think there is a real supportive feel. I know in particular there's one gentleman that when I drop Jacob off for work is waiting for Jacob to start work so that he can get his coffee from Jacob. I know that there's lots of people that like to come here because they know they're supporting a cause that's greater than just another coffee shop.
For someone listening right now, just on an individual level, is there something that you would want them to take from just the idea of COCO Cafe and think about and incorporate into their lives?
I think it's mostly that all of these individuals that you may see working at COCO Cafe or you may see in the grocery store or wherever you happen to be, that have some kind of developmental disability, an intellectual disability, these people, they all are the same as all of us. They all have hopes and dreams. They all have things that they're wanting to do with their future. And I think understanding that that we can help support those things and we can interact with those people in the same way that we interact with everybody else.
I think that's a big thing you just mentioned there, just the idea of interacting with someone. If just have a normal conversation like you would with anyone else is the way to do it if you feel sort of in your own head.
Exactly.
Anything else you'd like to bring to the conversation today?
No, other than I think that what I would like to see is a COCO Cafe in every community. I think that there is a need. There are loads and loads of people with diverse abilities that I think aspire to have employment. They desire to be part of a community and to be interacting with their greater community. And I think having those places that they can do that not only helps them, but also helps our community understand more about them as well.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today and taking the time to chat with me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This is People First Radio. Right now, we're paying a visit to COCO Cafe in the rural Vancouver Island community of Cedar. It's a social enterprise with a mission to provide employment, training, and socialization opportunities for people with developmental disabilities within their community. We just heard from Deborah Cooper, whose son Jacob works at COCO Cafe. We also heard from Jacob a little bit earlier on in the program, and Cecilia, who we're going to hear from again right now.
My name is Cecilia, and I'm the support worker here at Coco Cafe.
And can you tell me what that job looks like?
So I work with people with disabilities, and I work with them either baking food or making drinks with them. So like coffee, barista work.
And can you tell me a bit about what is the menu? What kinds of things are you making both on the food and drink side?
Yeah, we make a lot of cookies, loaves. We also work on all our mixes for our muffins and scones every day. We make ham and cheese croissants pretty much every day. And then any type of like espresso drink that you can think of, and drip coffee, things like that.
Can you tell me a bit about the impact that you've seen from doing this work?
I've seen a big impact. I've been here for almost 2 years now, and I can see a change in like pretty much every single supported staff member over the 2 years that I've been here. Jacob, who was on, I've seen huge improvements for him. He's so independent now, and yeah, that's a huge change for him.
And what's the sense of community like, both among the staff and the team, and then the customers who come in?
It's amazing. I'd have to say that this is the like most supportive workplace I've ever been in. And I think that the customers can tell that. And I think that like everyone who's in here is happy. There's hardly ever a day when I come in and people are not happy to be here. So that's amazing to work with.
And what do you think contributes to that? Why do you think that is?
I think that work is just so rewarding for people with disabilities, and I think that it's an area in our society that hasn't really been, like, there aren't a lot of workplaces like this that are so welcoming for people with disabilities, and people want to work. Like, everyone wants to be doing something productive, and so to be able to come into a workplace like this and do something productive, I think the whole community can just feel like how excited people are to be here and to be doing the work that needs to be done.
What would you tell someone who's never heard of Coco Cafe, but is maybe in the Nanaimo area, doesn't get out to Cedar that much? What would you want them to know about this place?
I would want them to know how great of an environment it is, and how amazing our baked goods and our coffee and our food actually is. I think anybody that I talk to that's been here says how great the food is. So not only are you supporting an amazing cause, but you're going to get great food and coffee out of it as well.
Is there something that you think other workplaces can maybe take from the model at Coco Cafe to improve things?
I think every workplace should be open to hiring people with disabilities. I work specifically for NACL, which is a company in town here, in their employment department. And my coworkers are placing other people with disabilities in workplaces, which is amazing work. And I just think that, like, yeah, other workplaces should open their doors to people with disabilities. They want to work. They want to be there. They will show up happy and be super productive.
If you're just tuning in, we're hearing a visit to Coco Cafe in the Vancouver Island community of Cedar. It's a social enterprise that provides employment, training, and socialization opportunities for people with developmental disabilities. I asked General Manager Mark Tashereau about the job paths staff take over the course of their time at the cafe.
We have basically a skills matrix, and we meet weekly and we discuss, you know, who our team members are and where they were at. And somebody may start off with very limited abilities, and they may start off, say, in the dish pit, you know, and we'll teach them the basic skills of washing dishes. And there's several stages to get through that. But once they're showing proficiency, we'll talk to them about exploring other opportunities. So it may be, you know, prepping food in the kitchen, or if they're more social, maybe they want to be up front and try running a till, learning to be a barista, in which case we'll move them on to the next step in the program. And so we have, you know, multiple areas that we can explore with them and develop numerous skills. And ideally, you know, participants who have a higher level of capacity will end up in the open market working a regular job because they had the opportunity to develop these skills. Not only the physical skills of doing the job, but the socialization skills it takes to be successful in the workplace.
And can you tell me what the response has been from the community outside, the folks who come in here as customers?
You know, we have the best customers. I mean, really, this community is behind this place from the beginning, and we couldn't do it without the community. And every day, you know, yesterday afternoon, we had a local business owner come in and just, you know, tell us how much he appreciated what we do and say him and his wife want to be involved and whatever they can do to help us. And it's that sort of community support that makes it possible, right? But it also keeps people, you know, like this off the street. Because let's face it, when one in two Canadians is living paycheck to paycheck, half our population is basically one paycheck away from being on the street. People with disabilities are much higher risk of ending up homeless. And so we're part of solving that problem.
What can someone do to contribute and help out Coco Cafe if they feel so inclined?
Well, you know what? I mean, you know, we accept donations, but really, come on in, order some food. We do lunch and business catering as well. But yeah, I mean, the best thing that anybody can do is come in and experience the cafe and what it's like to participate in that kind of an inclusive environment, because it's an energy here and understanding that the food is made from scratch from these very same people. I mean, they're showcasing their work every single day.
A couple of people I've spoken with since coming in have talked about a real sense of purpose that they feel like this cafe provides. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's more than just a job for anybody working here, obviously. You know, and this is sort of this Food for Friends program sort of came from that, and that is simply the people here recognize that the community supported them to start with. And so this program that we're running now is actually them donating their own money, their own time to give back to community, giving back to people in need in the community.
Can you tell me more? What is the program?
Well, essentially what we've done is what started out really simply as some of the team members recognizing the opportunity that they have and that others don't, wanting to give back. And after reading an article about how vulnerable people with disabilities are to being homeless, you know, they wanted to do what they could to change. And so we started by, you know, they started donating money and time. So we started putting receipts up for prepaid meals for people in need. And they can just come in, grab a receipt off the bulletin board, bring it up to the register, and get a hot meal paid for. That's how it started. The community got involved and started making donations from outside. We've had partners get involved. Obviously, people like the NACL helped make this possible. And so we started making large batches of food, and I go out in the afternoons and actually deliver food to people on the streets. We bring them hot meals and hot coffees to people who just don't have access, can't get here. And then as we push into Christmas, we're actually putting together meals for families in need so that they can actually have a nice turkey dinner and don't have to worry about it. These are hard times. But again, it comes from those very same people. The community supported them, the community showed them they cared, and that's pushing forward and creating more caring going back out into the community.
And from what you're describing, there's a real desire to help and to contribute from everyone involved in this. Is there something that maybe society more generally can take from the idea of Coco Cafe or the way things are done here to kind of spread that around or have that maybe influence more parts of society?
Wow, what a great question. I mean, it's hard because, you know, society has a lot of ails. The systems we've built have their flaws. And we have a lot of people with potential. We just don't necessarily have the avenues to recognize that and to support their development. And I think that's the key to it. And there's lots of great organizations doing great things in different ways. But to me, it is the answer, right? Every time we're able to elevate somebody It allows us to elevate someone else. It gives back to society. It removes a bit of burden from government systems, which allows, you know, money to go back into elevating more people. And so, you know, support for charitable causes is it's a necessary piece of the machinery that makes our societies work.
How did you get into the Coco Cafe?
I'm a career manager. My degree is in business administration. And in 2018, I actually had an accident and I broke my back. And a single father trying to support himself and his daughters. I was lucky to be able to get a job working remotely from with the government of BC. And while I was doing that, I worked on my master's degree, but I spent... In the beginning, I was lucky to walk 50 steps, and I didn't know that I would ever be fully functional again. And while I was working on my degree, I started thinking about my career and where I wanted to be and what I wanted to be doing. And my daughters were getting older, and that's how I ended up with Coco Cafe, is when I saw the opportunity to work for an entity that gave back to the community, to use my skills, not just to chase a dollar for a corporation, but to improve the lives of other people. I couldn't help but be interested.
Is there anything in the model of Coco Cafe that you would like people to know, to just take into their day-to-day lives as an action they could make or a way of thinking that they could change to make a positive change in the world?
Yeah, I love that. Realistically, I've always lived with the motto that no interaction we have, nothing we do is neutral. Everything, even at the most micro level, makes the world a little better or a little worse. And decisions, where are we going to eat? Where are we to buy our cup of coffee? Have an impact. That's something that the community here has grabbed onto and held onto with both hands. They come here because they know that they're making a difference in the world. And yeah, it's a simple thing. You're buying a cup of coffee. We're not even asking for a donation. And it's that changes things, right? So every time we support an entity or a business that's giving back to the community, you're making a positive change in the world. We want a better world. That's how we do it. They don't have to be big, grandiose gestures. They're small, simple interactions, but making a choice.
Is there anything else you'd like to bring to the conversation today?
I'd like to thank you for what you do, because bringing awareness is such a huge piece of this. And you know, we all have busy lives, and these aren't necessarily easy times. And the other part is the organizations like the NACL, and we're lucky to have an anonymous funder who helps us as well. But these organizations have an outsized impact on our society and our communities. And so, my appreciation to anybody who's doing anything to help out the community. You're part of the solution. And yeah, I just want to send my thanks to everybody doing that.
Mark Tashiro is general manager of Coco Cafe in Cedar.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.